Well, today, the Senate Committee on Finance began hearings on predatory tax preparers who gouge customers for a large percentage of their refunds or commit tax fraud. Now, a lot of people are surprised to learn that just about anyone can put out a shingle and prepare taxes. The industry is so lightly regulated. The IRS tried to rein it in 2009 with some regulations on small tax preparers, but those restrictions were overturned through lawsuits. So what happens now? Can these tax preparers be regulated? And what does all this mean for the majority of people who use them, the working poor? Jia Lin Yang is financial reporter for The Washington Post. She's in their studios. And Jia, again, we're not talking about big companies like H&R Block. They supported those earlier attempts at regulation. So who are these tax preparers?
So it really runs the gamut. You're talking about anyone who really has decades of experience preparing tax returns and just sort of falls under this sort of unregulated category. But we're also talking, unfortunately, about people who really have no preparation or education in this area, working out of a car dealership, gas station. There have even been reports of massage parlors, dog groomers, all kinds of businesses where you'll walk in and there'll be a sign saying, hey, you know, you can also, while you're getting your dog groomed, get your tax returns prepared while you're here, and we can handle that and we'll get you the biggest refund. So it's really tough to tell if you're a consumer going in exactly what kind of person you're working
right.
with.
Well, and at least with your dog groomer, they may still be there when a problem arises, you go back to them. But a lot of them that just rent out storefronts this time of year will be gone. One of the companies that was really eyed was Instant Tax Services. They were shut down by a court order last year. Tell me some of the things that companies like that did. What are some of the problems?
The problems are pretty shocking, actually, once you get into the details. Let's say you went up to the storefront a year ago, and this year you've decided to maybe, you know, do it yourself or go with someone else. Some of those companies will actually dig up your old information, prepare the tax return without your permission or knowledge, claim your refund, and then sort of leave you in a lurch. Hmm. So something as extreme as that. Or, you know, you'll be working with them and they'll say, oh, you know, under charitable deductions, why don't we just, you know, add a couple dollars here and there? Or, you know, with your W-2 form, with your income statement, well, you know, we don't have to report that cash payment. But then when the IRS comes and audits and says, hey, you know, there's a real problem with this number or we need proof of this, that tax preparer is not on the hook for that. That's the individual, really.
Let's remind people, no matter who your tax preparer is, the individual is always responsible. You can pay H&R Block, but in the long run, you are responsible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and you point out the tax code has gotten so complicated, it's hard to even follow sometimes what people are doing. So they may, for instance, falsely claim college credits for you that you don't deserve just so that they can get more of your return when they if they take their fee, for instance, out of your return. And then you're stuck with trying to explain to the IRS why you had false college credits down when you didn't take any courses.
Absolutely. Part of the issue is that a lot of tax returns now hinge on people being able to prove what they're claiming. And because there's such a wide array of these tax credits, I mean, people have to really keep very good documentation. And if the IRS comes to you later and says, where's your proof of this? If you don't really have a clear sense of how your tax return was done, you know, you'll be on the hook for credits that you didn't even know were claimed on your behalf by this tax preparer.
Well, the National Consumer Law Center says the most severe impact of these tax preparers is on low-income families. Over 60% of them pay for tax preparation. This is the single largest sum of money that they're going to get during the entire year.
Yes, this return for them is really critical, this credit. And part of what's happened and what's changed so much and why the IRS and really taxpayers find themselves in this odd situation of no one being regulated, is that electronic filing, the advent of that means that people get refunds faster too. And so getting your taxes prepared isn't just this thing that you have to do every year where you wait around for the check to eventually show up. These businesses are promising, if you walk in and let us do your tax return, we'll give you that money really upfront in a loan. And so if you wanted to buy that car and yet you were kind of short on money in your bank account, they can say, hey, no problem. You know, you got your tax return prepared here. Here's your refund. We'll put that towards your purchase.
It's called the refund anticipation loan. They give you the money in anticipation of your refund.
Yes. You know, this population that relies so much on the earned income tax credit is particularly vulnerable now in a way that they weren't before because, in a way, it's gotten so much easier.
But we should say, you write, of the 1.2 million tax preparers nationwide who do charge, most have happy customers. Four states do regulate tax preparers. What is the suggestion? I mean, how can you regulate 1.2 million people? Would they all have to be licensed? some, the government does license some tax preparers are called agents, but would now everyone have to be licensed?
So what the IRS proposed, and these are the sort of powers that the courts have now denied them, they wanted to create basic standards. So, for instance, requiring registration if you're going to be a tax preparer, having testing, continuing education, because, of course, the code is always changing, and then certification. And so now that the IRS can't do that, they're thinking now about doing voluntary things. So you can volunteer to get this continuing education and sort of say next to your shingle, hey, I've got this, you know, badge of approval from the government that I basically know what I'm doing. The issue with the court case is, you're right, not everyone, obviously, who's doing this and falls under the unregulated category is, you know, looking to scam taxpayers and customers. The people who actually challenged the IRS's ability to do this, it was a group of three small business tax preparers. And they were saying, actually, if you add all these regulations, you make me go to these classes, that's kind of an onerous cost for me and makes it tough for me to stay open, really.
So it sounds like we have two separate things going on, that the IRS might have people voluntarily get this good housekeeping seal of approval, do some training voluntarily, but also the Senate is looking into regulations. Is your sense from the past failures at regulating this industry, is your sense that that will go nowhere?
So the Senate and the House separately over the last decade really have various bills have come up trying to propose this, and none of them have really gone through. This might generate some momentum for some action. But, you know, this is a problem that's been going on for quite a long time. And so far, there just hasn't been, at least on the federal level, a real response to it.
Jia Lin Yang, financial reporter for The Washington Post. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.